Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott. I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can reach us through our website at www.restaurantguysradio.com. We are also podcasting, so subscribe to us on Podcast Alley or iTunes or any of those services. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
Really well.
You know, we are getting email from, I kid you not, around the world, all through Europe, all through America. Little frog in my throat there. all through Europe, all through, it's amazing.
It's very fun. It's very fun. I'm glad that everybody's taking an interest in the show. We're having a lot of fun doing it.
Keep sending them, Francis at restaurantguysradio.com or Mark at restaurantguysradio.com, and we're going to answer some of the questions that people have asked in the next week or so on the air. But a couple of people have said, what's New Brunswick, New Jersey like? Is it all like the New Jersey Turnpike? I will share with you that New Brunswick is a great town to do business in.
And the mighty Raritan rages through New Brunswick.
Raritan River is a brackish, brown, meandering river in New Brunswick. Was once mighty. On the way to work today, I was driving through like the Mexican section of New Brunswick on the way to the station, and I saw a little bodega, and I thought, there is like the essence of like part of New Brunswick that I lived in when I first came here. There was a little bodega, and it had a little table outside with things that it had for sale on it.
Yeah.
And it had a Virgin Mary statue, watermelons, and some used shoes.
And a little Eiffel Tower.
I thought, welcome to New Brunswick. But I bet those watermelons are local.
Yeah. I bet they're very local, like backyard local.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's the deal. We want to talk about today a question that was raised last night by a real live diner in our restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We had a dinner last night in the restaurant where we featured the produce of local farms, and we had some of the farmers in, and we had people in a different farm featured in every course.
Very fun. Very fun, very interesting. You know, I'll tell you that we definitely had, you know, Ernie and Fernando were picking tomatoes at one farm yesterday morning. Somebody else was picking mushrooms at another place. Somebody else was getting corn from drier farms. Somebody else was getting some other produce.
And
it was really, we were literally across the state yesterday getting produce for this dinner.
But it was tremendous to see the farmers
Union Square Gruen Market, we had some people go to.
But it was tremendous to see the farmers in for dinner. I think that was great. And people really liked connecting with local produce that way. But the question that came up was, why don't you use organic farmers? Why don't you use certified organic farmers?
And, which I thought was a really good question.
I think it's a great question. And do you want to have a run at that one, Mark?
Sure.
Well, and we do use some organic farmers.
I mean, there are lots of reasons as to use organic farmers, and I think that Francis and I, and one of the things that I've noticed is when I go to shopping in the store, I tend to buy organic products because I know what to expect from those products. I tend, you know, I definitely buy organic hormone-free milk, for instance, always.
Yes.
Every time I'm in the store, but I necessarily for the restaurant. What we've done is we've built relationships with people so we know how they farm. And what we've done, or tried to do anyway, is find farmers who are farming responsibly. And organic and sustainable aren't always exactly the same thing.
When we say sustainable, what we mean is a responsible form of agriculture. Now, to be organic, and we support organic farmers, we really do, and I think it's great when people, it's appropriate for them to make that choice, and we'll pay extra for organic. But to be organic, first of all, the large food companies have co-opted and weakened the definition of organic, sadly. But the other thing that goes on with to be completely organic, your soil has to, say, lie fallow for 3 years or be farmed organically for 3 years, and you don't get the organic certification during the three-year period. If your neighbor sprays pesticide, you lose the organic certification. If you need to spray with some sort of a pesticide once in a blue moon, you'll lose the organic certification for the following 3 years.
Right.
If your neighbor decides to spray his potatoes with, as happened to a friend of ours who owned a vineyard out in Long Island, they don't want to be, but they can't be certified organic, even though their practices are entirely organic.
They actually supersede the organic most of the organic rules.
But their neighbor sprays his potatoes with herbicide, with insecticide. Mm-hmm. And so it's the organic label is very complicated, and it's not the only way to be sure that you have
correct
quality produce.
It's and one of the things that, that Francis and I talk about is we have a big advantage, and I will admit that I have a big advantage because I talk directly to the farmers. I deal directly with the farmers. Some of them are growing things specifically for me based on the mutual arrangement we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, and I'll use a farmer that we do a lot of stuff with, Ben Konopacki from Indike Farms. He never sprays his strawberries at once he has bud break.
Once
period.
Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't spray his strawberries unless he needs to, unless there's an issue. You know, so when you talk about sustainable versus organic, if you know the farmer, I don't think that a farmer, for instance, New Jersey had this bee problem last year where it had mites attacking the bee colonies, and we lost about half of our honeybee population.
In all of New Jersey.
In all of New Jersey. Now, if we need to have some kind of pesticide to do something for those mites, I think that it's onerous to not allow someone to be able to get rid of those mites.
Well, and that brings up a really good point. You hear us talk on this show a lot about industrial agriculture. You hear us talk about agribusiness agriculture. You hear us talk a lot about practices like putting antibiotics in the feed of all cattle,
right,
of all chickens. You hear us talk about being preventive and using synthetic hormones and antibiotics.
70% of our antibiotics right now, of human antibiotics, are being used in cattle.
So of the 70% of the antibiotics produced in the world are being used in livestock.
In livestock, right. Not necessarily just cattle.
Now, here's the problem with that. I don't think that our kids, you know, and lo and behold, we're seeing an increased resistance to being treated with increasingly resistant forms of diseases that aren't treatable by antibiotics anymore. Well, we're eating antibiotics every day. That's not how they're supposed to work.
Now, we eat them in our milk, we eat them in our meat, we eat them everywhere
in
our vegetables.
But that's something that we're against. Now, listen, what we is treating animals who aren't sick with antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a farmer and you've got your whole livelihood and one of your animals gets sick, if you want to then treat that animal with antibiotics, or even in that instance treat the animals surrounding that animal with antibiotics, so if you have a, diseases spread very rapidly through birds. So if you treat the entire flock because you identify a disease, I don't have a problem with that. Well, you lose the organic label if you do that. But I think it's about being responsible, it's about having some moderation, and it's about making sure we eat wholesomely and eat good food in a way that our children can continue to get the same kind of food that we do. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 11:15. Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott from Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick. And we're going to spend a little while talking about something at the request of some of our listeners out in podcast land. I had this from two separate people who wanted to talk about, we'll call this segment food flops. These would be foods that either never really made it or made it for a little while and then disappeared, but bad ideas in food.
Really, really bad ideas.
Now, before we go on, and we had a couple suggested to us, we did a little research ourselves and picked our little brains to come up with food flops that we thought were rather amusing. But if you think of, we can do another show on this sometime in the future, so if you can think of things that we miss in talking about bad food ideas, we want you to email us.
Mm-hmm.
The website is restaurantguysradio.com, francis@restaurantguysradio.com, or mark@restaurantguysradio.com. And give us your
if
own.
If it's really funny, send it to mark@restaurantguysradio.com.
Give us, because he's the funny-looking one. So what are the major food flops, Mark, that we should talk about
there
today?
There are so many, but one of the ones that I just think stings. Let's start with one of the biggest ones ever. New Coke.
Yeah. New Coke. Okay. She's no more.
New Coke ain't as good as old Coke. We're not buying it.
Let me tell you something. You got the best brand in the world.
I don't understand.
And you change it?
There are some people who think that there was a subversive plot there, that they were always planning on going back to old Coke.
Like getting people riled up about Coke?
It was just to get people fired up.
Maybe it got Coke in the news.
And it worked.
It did.
They got a lot of play. They got a lot of marketing. But New Coke wasn't very good.
Did you know that Coke is the third most recognized utterance It's the second most recognized utterance in the world. In the world.
That's a big utterance.
It's the first most recognized utterance across languages, across cultures, is no. And the second most recognized utterance in the world is Coke.
After no.
Now that's branding.
You know what I think we should do?
What?
Put them together.
My no. Funny.
No Coke.
My dear
I don't think they're going to be a sponsor. What do you think?
I think they are now. We'll cancel that letter. Dear friend, Bethan, who is also an ex-girlfriend of mine, spent some time in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
When she's a veterinarian, very talented woman. And she told me about villages in which there was no...
villages in which there were no what?
Villages in which there were no... villages in which there was no electricity. Except for the power line that ran in to run the Coke machine in the center of town.
Very impressive. You got to admit, that's very impressive.
I mean, that's it. There's not like the hospital.
There's not a fan.
There's no hospital.
There's not a fan, but there's a Coke machine.
You can get a cold Coke. Is that scary?
There's not an incubator, but there's a Coke machine.
You know, I've never seen it, but ever since Bethan told me about that, that's stuck in my head.
It's creepy.
Just evil.
It's creepy.
Just really evil. Wouldn't you want to run like... the defibrillator or something of that? Couldn't you have an emergency plug that in case you needed to plug in the defibrillator?
Yep. I think
but
it's
you got
good,
a cold Coke. I bet, though, after you're in Africa, like trekking for hundreds of miles, that Coke tastes pretty good, though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. What
after
else?
After you've given somebody open-heart surgery, what do you need? You need an icy cold Coke.
Plug the Coke machine back in. All right, what are the other bad food ideas?
Oh, there are a gazillion of them.
Bud Dry. Do you remember Bud Dry?
Bud Dry.
Bud
Dried Up.
Budweiser introduced Bud Dry years ago, and their motto was no aftertaste.
Right.
But my little spin on that was Bud Dry, no aftertaste,
no taste.
It just tasted like nothing.
Taste-free beer. Here you go.
And literally, after you drank, it was like nothing was left on your tongue. Mm-hmm. It was like a bizarre chemistry experiment. Okay, that didn't work. What other ones do you have?
That's do you want to stay with alcohol?
No, whatever.
Because there are some really good ones. The coffee-flavored Jell-O.
Yeah.
Coffee-flavored Jell-O. People thought it was, you know, we'll mix dessert and coffee. You won't have to actually have a cup of coffee. You can just have Jell-O-flavored coffee.
The coffee Jell-O was marketed in 1918. The makers thought that since people often drink coffee with dessert, that combining them was a logical step. They also marketed cola flavor, celery flavor, and chocolate flavor.
Celery flavored.
Yeah, not so good. My favorite, though, my favorite in Food Flops is Gerber Singles.
Oh, so gross. Any parent who even sees this thinks about it.
In 1974, Gerber realized that some adults liked the baby food.
And so they were eating your baby's applesauce.
And so Gerber released, they decided they would market to this because they didn't realize that people would be ashamed.
Humiliated. Okay.
So you'd sneak this.
What are you having for dinner? Baby food. You want to come over?
That's like, well, they didn't realize that it was like picking the pizza out of the garbage after you've changed your mind, you know. They don't want to advertise it. So anyway, in 1974, Gerber released small servings of food made for single adults packaged in jars almost identical to the baby food. It didn't take long for Gerber to realize that adults couldn't get used to eating pureed food out of a jar, especially not on jars depressingly labeled singles.
I mean, we're having a dinner party, honey. We have the strained meat, the strained squash, strained peas, and for dessert, strained peaches.
You know that was meant for lonely people to sit alone
in
their house.
But no, I think it was meant for moms who were eating with their kids.
Right before you kill yourself. Your last meal is Gerber Singles. Man. Anyway, that was a big flop.
You know, it should have been.
Okay. You know?
It was funny because we were talking to somebody who is a muckety-muck in a very large pharmaceutical company last night. And so we were talking about, because we knew we were going to be talking about this on the show today. And what he said to us was, because we said, how do these things ever come to market? And he said, some new, brash, young guy trying to make a name for himself, trying to do something off the wall, trying to
out
make a name for himself, thinking out of the box, and the taste tests don't matter. They just kind of ram it through. And
Gerber Singles, all I have to say.
That is one of my favorite ones.
How about flower-flavored Pez?
Yeah, that was for the in the 60s for the flower children.
Yeah, they didn't want to eat the flowers.
They wanted to look at the flowers, okay? They wanted to dance in the flowers. They wanted
put them in their hair. But the plastic Pez dispenser did not.
Ingesting flowers was not on their list.
Well, and I also think that ingesting Pez was not exactly.
Flower-flavored Pez.
Maybe if they were smokable Pez.
Okay, maybe if it was F-L-O-U-R. Okay?
Come on. That was funny. Smokable Pez back in the 60s.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
I could actually think of some other flavors that might have gone over big, but they're not really flowers. That's leaves.
You definitely could have gotten that done.
Coffee flavored Jello we liked. Garlic cake.
Garlic cake.
The subject line we have: our research assistant wrote, "Garlic cake, dessert or what?" No one knew in 1989 because the packaging was confusing. It was soon withdrawn.
Yeah, is that?
I
is
love
that,
our research staff. That's great.
That's great. Do you actually take garlic cake? Do you serve it like with bread pudding? Is it garlic bread pudding or is it? I don't know.
I don't think you serve it with anything anymore. It's out of the market.
No thanks. I am so out on that one.
Do you remember Crystal Pepsi? Pepsi no color?
Crystal 1992? Pepsi, right. Clear Pepsi. Looked like 7-Up, tasted like Pepsi. I don't want any.
Came out right after New Coke and went the same way as New Coke. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. We're having a very, very lighthearted show today, talking about food ideas that didn't work, shouldn't have worked, quit it, and most of them have flopped. And we're actually going to talk about a few that should have flopped and didn't flop. But another one, this Ready Bacon, the people who made Ready Whip, you put bacon that you put in your toaster.
Now, hold on a second. This was a good idea.
It was a good idea?
Well, because it worked. I mean, if it was foil-wrapped slices of bacon that you could pop in the toaster,
okay,
and it would make your bacon.
It worked if you were trying to start a fire in the middle of your kitchen.
Problem, one small problem was that the foil used to break.
And the grease would drip out into
your
toaster.
Would burst into flames.
And that's,
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Somebody's grandmother died that way, and they're crying in their car right now.
Oh,
I sat next to a guy on an airplane on the way back from Ireland, and he was sort of a bit of a dork, and he found out I was in the food business.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about food, and he told me what great taste he had, and whatever. You know, I'm on an airplane next to somebody for like 6 hours, right? And he says, well, he's in the food business too. He's a food scientist. I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, you know, he knows all about food, et cetera, and so forth. He said, yeah, I made my money figuring out how certain substances can hold more air. I said, yeah. He said, yeah, well, you know when the came out with a package?
I know some people like that.
You know when the came out with a package that said 40% more for the same price?
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. He's like, that was me. I figured out how to get 40% more air in the package. And I thought, I actually said to him, I said, we're not really bonding. And I didn't say, because I think you're the devil and everything is wrong with the food world.
Because 40% more air is
like,
not 40% more.
And I thought, you
unless
evil.
Unless you can't breathe.
And Ready Whip is not real
unless
food.
Unless you're buying underwater scuba equipment. That's the only time that 40% more air counts as 40%
And he's
more.
Like trying to bond, like, yeah, we're both in the same kind of business. I'm like, we are not in the same kind of business.
We're in opposite businesses.
Anyway, our business is radio and restaurants and real whole food. We'll be talking about more silly food ideas. Call in if you've got some of your own. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, and the time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can also reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. We podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Podcast Alley and all that neat stuff. Today we are talking about food flops, past, present, and future. We've been talking about food ideas that just didn't make it. Gerber singles, coffee-flavored Jell-O. What else did we talk about? The new Coke that didn't make it, garlic cake. Crystal Pepsi.
We were just talking about Ready Bacon, which lit people's toasters on fire.
The Ready Bacon was quite tasty, except that occasionally your toaster would burst into flames. That's what you call a food flop.
But you know there's another product on the market now called, like, Quick Bacon or something like that.
I just can't get that image out of my head.
The flaming toaster?
Yeah. Honey, put the bacon in. Go ahead. But, I'm sorry.
Okay. First of all, but let's just think for just one second. Yeah. You're probably frying eggs to go with the bacon, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So why does the bacon have to go on the toaster?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's this new product, Quick Bacon.
Yeah.
Okay, or I don't even know if that's the name of it, but it's something like that. It's an already cooked bacon. All you have to do is heat it up. Okay? So you can put your bacon in the microwave for 60 seconds to heat it up or a minute and 20 seconds to cook it.
Well, I'll save you 60 seconds. It comes in handy.
I'm never that short of time.
We're stupid sometimes. Americans are so, like, gadget obsessed.
I mean, and I'm not crazy about microwave bacon, but literally, you're going to put your bacon in the microwave oven for 60 seconds to heat it up or a minute and 20 seconds.
Well, that's like the Country Time lemonade. And I know that's still popular out there. It's powdered lemonade mix, right? So when you want to make Country Time lemonade, you got to go into the refrigerator. You got to get some ice. You got to get some water. You got to put it in a pitcher. You got to mix it up. And then you pour it over ice, and you have lemonade. What's the difference between that and getting some reconstituted lemon juice or actually, heaven forbid, real heaven forfend, lemons?
You could even get one of those little plastic lemons at the supermarket.
Right.
And you're done.
What is the point? And no guar gum, you know, that way. We have another caller. We have Steve from Edison on the line to share with us his own food flop idea. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Great morning. Steve's the first caller here.
We know who you are. Our first time caller, Steve. So, Steve, what do you have for us in food flop ideas today?
I got two of them. One, every now and then when I go up to New England, I like to go through these antique shops and they sell magazines from like the 50s and 60s and stuff.
Yeah, what'd you find?
And I remember finding an ad for gel cookery. It was done in the 60s, and it was unbelievable. They would you cook everything from vegetables to meat in a Jell-O mold.
Oh yeah. Jell-O molds were really big in the 60s, and you know, luckily they stopped. They just started putting like grapes and stuff in them. But,
yeah,
which was a little.
In the hospital, I'm not eating Jell-O. Look, we lost another sponsor.
The other one that's a little more recent is my wife found it totally repulsive. Is that you have those fruit roll-ups that the kids have.
Yeah.
And some of them have cutouts. They can take out and play around with, which is bad enough that they were teaching the kids to play with their food.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have ones with tattoos where you would encourage the kids to lick their arms or other body
parts. To paste it to their brother's head.
Exactly.
That's great.
Stick the food on someone else's body and then get a tattoo and then eat the food.
That's so disturbing on so many levels, especially because it has to do with children. Someone needs to call DIFUS.
Put that in the lunchbox up to school and imagine what happens. Oh, my God.
As I said, that's so disturbing. Now, if that were being sold in an adult novelty shop, I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, man.
But we should not be marketing this to our children. You people are sick. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Have a great one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So,
now, I think you should be 18 to buy those.
Sticky tattoo.
Think about it, Mark.
Roll up Jell-O.
Think about it, Mark. I don't want my 12-year-old doing
it. Stop it.
Okay,
stop it. You're going the wrong way.
All right.
Actually, that takes us to another one that I wanted to talk about, which is just recently released in 04, were Pringles Prints.
Oh, yes.
And they're Pringles potato chips with trivia questions on each one.
They're filling and informative.
You can play a game and eat a bag of potato chips at the same time.
They're not allowed on the set of Jeopardy, though. No. You can't bring them on.
No cheating.
Here's a sample question. How far can a lion's roar travel? Up to 5 miles away. Right on a chip. I got that right. It wasn't a microchip. Holds less data than a microchip.
I knew that because I eat chips. I'm smarter for eating potato chips. That's what they're trying to say.
You know the Jones Soda and the Gus Soda Company, Grown Up Sodas and Jones Sodas. Mm-hmm. Now, I support a lot of what they're doing. They're introducing adult flavors into soda. Less sweet, interesting flavors, and they do a lot of great things. And people are looking for non-alcoholic options in fine dining restaurants. A lot of our friends have Gus Sodas in particular. But the Jones Soda Company does these unusual adult flavors.
We're going to say over the top sometimes.
But they went a little over the top. Last year they introduced, and this got a lot of press, they introduced the turkey and gravy flavored soda. That's right, turkey flavored soda.
I got to say, ew.
I tried to get me some, but it was limited. I couldn't get any. I knew I'd say ew.
I didn't want any.
But okay. I wanted to speak from experience. This year they also did fruitcake, green bean casserole,
okay,
and mashed potato.
Hold on. We won't eat the fruitcake when it's fruitcake.
All right.
Now you want us to eat the fruitcake soda? I don't think so.
How about the green bean casserole soda? All right, that's Jones Sodas. I think you can go to jonessodas.com and find those.
Oh, awful. Actually awful. But, there was another product that came out in the 70s called Wine and Dine.
Yeah.
It would make up like a pasta and a sauce mix and everything, and it included the little bottle of wine
to be put in the sauce.
In with the package, so you could pour that right into the sauce.
Yeah.
You know why it didn't work?
Why?
People drank the wine.
It was
sauce tasted terrible, wine tasted terrible, and they drank the wine.
Bad, bad, bad. Pringles Prince I like the best.
Yeah.
You should be able to put love notes on your Pringles.
Another product that was great. I mean, really just absolutely somebody thinking. Pepsi AM.
Oh, yeah.
Because having soda from noon to midnight, not good enough.
Pepsi AM was, for those who didn't like coffee but wanted an extra caffeine jolt, had 25% more caffeine than coffee. If you're drinking Pepsi for breakfast, that's enough. That's enough.
And that's why they say it failed, because the people who were willing to drink soda for breakfast felt that actual Pepsi was bad enough for them. They didn't have to have the Pepsi with the 25% more caffeine.
Here's a group. There's a group that's come out, a group of New York chefs that have published a list of things they would like to see come off New York City menus. So here we are on the fine dining end and the foie gras. We have a dish of seaweed with strawberries that we'd like to see removed and banished
forever. You know, I have no problem with that being banished for all eternity. Seaweed, you know what? I'm digressing just a little bit, but this whole putting seaweed with stuff that it doesn't belong with.
Sushi. That's it.
Okay.
Seaweed sushi.
Comes from the ocean, tastes like the ocean, and let's not mix it with stuff that it shouldn't be mixed
with. You know,
do strawberries grow in the ocean? Ever?
There's a history of Irish people eating seaweed at one time. It was during the famine. Okay? They had to eat the seaweed and to keep from dying, and that's the only time. All right, the other thing that should come off New York City menus, according to this group, is foie gras lollipops.
Yeah.
Foie gras lollipops. Bad.
You invented a word.
Foie gras. You know, we've been bashing David Burke a little bit, I'm sorry to say.
Let's jump on him.
He lives in a nicer house than I do. he's a very nice man. But I went to his restaurant, David Burke and Donatella, and his signature item is the cheesecake lollipop tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this beautiful, custom-made sterling silver holder for all these lollipop sticks that he puts different kinds of cheesecake on the end of each lollipop stick. And it's a little Christmas tree of cheesecake lollipops.
Why are they on lollipops?
Got to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm at a fine dining restaurant. I literally felt stupid.
You know,
it's a little gloop of cheesecake stuck on a stick.
We don't need to put everything on a stick, okay?
And in the
Got hot dogs on a stick. We got Twinkies on a stick. We got, there's a new product coming out called meat on a stick. There are so many things on, we don't need to put everything on a stick.
I was in a fine dining restaurant with the chef, I believe.
I said meat on a stick.
And I had cheesecake on a stick, and I thought, it's still cheesecake. What's the difference? You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Central Jersey Talk Radio. Central Jersey, 1450. WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. Today we're talking about food flops and really, 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 really bad ideas that mass marketers have thought that we should buy.
My favorite is still ready bacon. Likely to
bacon
make
that, the bacon that turns your toaster into a flaming...
Only 1 in 100 times, but you know what? They sell more than 100.
1 in 100 times. Anyway, so, you know, talking about bad food ideas.
Yeah.
Somebody came in last night, and they were talking about the Italian restaurant upstairs.
We are building an Italian restaurant upstairs from stage left.
And they said, so.
Oh, wait, here's a plug. Anybody's looking for a job. We need to hire a lot of people soon, I just realized.
So she says to me, so, upstairs, you're going to have turkey meatballs? To which I replied, absolutely never. Are we going to have turkey meatballs.
I was in a soul food restaurant once, and I was just having really good... I really like Hoppin' John, which is made with black-eyed peas and a ham hock, and it's really good, really delicious food. And this place I was in, they decided they were going to go healthy, and I ordered Hoppin' John. And the thing about black-eyed peas is they are a complete protein. They're one of the best legumes you can eat. They're one of the best vegetable sources of all nutrients that you can have. Problem is, black-eyed peas are disgusting.
They're not disgusting.
No, they're great, and there are plenty of dishes with black-eyed peas that are great, but it's the lard that's great,
yeah.
Okay? The black-eyed peas are just a medium.
Yeah.
So I went and I ordered Hop and John, which has black-eyed peas, and it wasn't very good. And I said, excuse me, how do you make this exactly? And they said, well, we're trying to be lighter. We make it with, instead of a ham hock, we use turkey bones. I thought to myself,
please stop.
Then just don't make it.
Right.
You know, make turkey sandwich.
Right, exactly.
All right, FDA warns about cake batter ice cream. That is August 15th. The United States Food and Drug Administration is informing retail and food service industries that incorporating an ingredient like cake batter that is intended to be cooked into a ready-to-eat food that will not be cooked, it puts you at risk of microorganisms of public health concern, and it can pose a serious food safety risk. So if you're using the raw eggs, everybody, to make the cake batter ice cream,
you need to cook them.
A recent multi-state outbreak of salmonella has been associated with the consumption of cake batter ice cream. Duh! Coddle the eggs!
If you wouldn't eat raw eggs, don't eat the food that you never cooked.
Oh, my Lord. In other news...
That's definitely a rule.
In other news, the FDA has recently lost its battle to regulate foods made with hemp because the food is sterile after it. So our note here is that hemp growers are hoping to smoke up the market.
That's not funny.
Hemp, very good food, very good for you, makes good rope.
That's not, it does make extraordinary rope.
It is
the strongest rope you can buy.
It is the strongest rope around, and it's actually a very environmentally correct product. It's much better for the planet than cotton, and you can't smoke cotton.
Anyway, let's go through a couple of things that we think aren't going to make it through. The recent release things that we think aren't going to make it.
Okay.
We already talked about the turkey gravy flavored soda. But how about liquid candy?
Yeah. Okay.
Milky Way and Starburst have launched liquefied versions of their sweet treats.
That's called juice, everybody.
Milky Way Slammers and Starburst Smoothies. You know when you need that? When you just don't have enough time to eat a candy bar.
You know when you need that? When all your teeth have fallen out because you ate too much candy.
When you just don't have enough, there's not enough time in the day to get that candy bar down.
Or you don't have any teeth, you can't chew, so you need the candy and liquid.
What's wrong with you?
That's horrible. You know, it does remind me of my father. I love my father dearly. He is the inspiration of my life. He is how I define honor in a human being. But he has said some things. Everybody's father said some things to them over their lives that they remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they first opened up a Haagen-Dazs scoop shop in my town when I was in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, and the premium flavors used to be like 10 cents more. The cone was 10 cents more if you got the chocolate chip or anything.
Right.
And I remember we walked into the store, and this is on the other extreme. I wanted he said, you can have an ice cream cone. And I said, okay, great. So what flavor do you want? I said, I'll have a vanilla chocolate chip. He said, no, you can't have that. I said, why can't I have a vanilla chip? I can have an ice cream cone. I can't have vanilla chip. He said, son, when you eat ice cream, you eat ice cream. And when you eat candy, you eat candy. I thought to myself, at 12, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Dad, if you're listening, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, especially since he eats vanilla chip
now. I know. He's come over to the dark side.
He has definitely crossed over into mixing candy.
Yeah, I can chew my own candy bars. Thank you very much. Let's go back to fine dining for a moment.
Sure.
Ferran Adria. Is the foremost chef in the world, most famous chef in the world. He has a very experimental restaurant in Barcelona. The world needs precisely one of him, okay? And people are imitating him all over the world, coming up with cockamamie concoctions. I mean, doing things like putting flavored gases in a balloon and bringing them to the table so people can breathe the flavored gas.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Quit it. Well, you know, Ferran Adria just came out with potato chips.
I saw.
He just came out with flavored potato chips. That's scaring me.
Well,
because he's got some of the funkiest,
kookiest ideas.
Kookiest ideas of flavor mixtures. And they're saying his first two flavors were
mild.
Pretty straightforward. But I'm sure that's not the
direction
he's going to go. You're
going to come out with like kangaroo and kiwi potato chips.
Exactly.
But one of his influences is he really has been a huge influence on the food world overall. And one of the things that he's done is he uses foams a lot, foams of different consistencies, from very light foams to foams actually made in a whipped cream maker. And he did it years ago, and now, of course, he's not doing it anymore, and everybody else is copying what he did. And that's very interesting because it's a way to add a very light flavor and a very interesting texture
on
top of it.
It's a texture that you add to the food.
But you know what? You get, again, that's like do that twice and then stop it.
Right.
Cut it out.
Oh, what a neat. That's great. Thanks.
So when you go to your restaurant and there's an eager young chef who read you know, Ferran Edry's book, and he's foam is everywhere. Yeah, okay. All right, enough with the foam.
Right.
Cut it out.
He wrote that book a few years ago, and we did the foam thing for sure.
All right, I have a picture of you in my scrapbook at home, Mark, sitting in the backyard in the lagoon in the back of our house in Seaside Park, New Jersey, when we were 21 years old.
That's a long time ago.
Floating in an inner tube with a Bartles and James wine cooler in your hand.
Actually, I think we were 20, by the way, but shh.
What? No, I would never. But you with a Bartles and James, whatever happened to wine coolers?
Gone.
Whatever happened to wine coolers?
Actually, they still exist. But they went from being a very large segment to...
After all that thanking us for their support.
It's been replaced by B to the E.
Oh, here's
That's
another bad idea.
That's what happened.
Well, and I'm sorry, and I love all the people at Budweiser, and there's nothing quite like a good cold Budweiser on a hot summer afternoon, all the way down, the long neck bottle. Really can enjoy Budweiser. But they've come out with a new product called B to the E.
Yeah, it's
Budweiser to the extreme.
It's not doing it to me.
Extremely disgusting. Extremely misguided. What are you doing? What they've done is they've put in like the ephedra-like, it's
right.
not ephedra, but they put in like
the
high energy, makes you smarter herbal thing in my beer. Get it out of my beer, first of all.
if I want
to get smarter, I'll drink tea. If I want a beer, it means
I'll have my ginkgo biloba in a pill, thanks very much.
Or in a cup of tea. And you know what? The tea will taste good, and then my beer that I have afterwards will taste good. I must be the only guy. Like, I did a yoga lesson once, and I immediately popped the beer afterwards.
I can't imagine you doing yoga.
My niece is a yoga instructor.
Finding your inner peace is not really
I
your
just
thing.
Did the position, so then I went and grabbed a beer. But B to the E... that is really a misconception.
Yoga to you is just stretching. It's really all it is.
It's true. I encourage everyone out there to go and buy a bottle of B to E because it's not going to be on the market for long, everybody. Take a good look, and you should have it just so you can have this story to laugh about as the years go on. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, time is 1155.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal, Francis Schott, Stage Left Restaurant, and here talking with you about ridiculous food ideas that didn't work. You know, we should just put this all in a frame of reference. This is big business, everybody.
Oh, sure.
I mean, this is monstrous. The average weekly sales per supermarket in the United States rose from $192,000 in 1993 to $348,000 in 2003.
So it went up like 70% in 10 years.
And they have to figure out how to get you to buy more garbage that you don't need.
That's it.
My favorite, this isn't really a food flop, but this is just really amusing. Cup of noodles. We've all heard of cup of noodles, right? Cup of noodles, if you go on the supermarket, Nissin Cup of Noodles, N-I-S-S-I-N is the company, in case you don't know, but they own Cup of Noodles. If you go and you buy a cup of noodles, on the package it says, refer to the lid inside for microwave directions.
It says
directions.
Microwave directions. See lid for details.
Right. And if the directions that are on the lid... Due to variance in microwave heating power and for safety, we do not recommend microwave cooking. Hey!
You said microwave directions.
Microwave
directions are
don't. You can't do that. Evidently they can. So,
that's funny. That's funny.
It should say psych when you're done.
That's
with
funny.
That one.
Microwave directions for a raw egg. Don't.
Well, they're developing a lot of these flavors, and thank God agribusiness is testing these things. They have developed the world's first artificial throat for
the food
industry.
Because there are not enough throats in the world, okay? We need an artificial one.
There aren't enough people. The artificial throat processes and uses glass tube and a segment of rubber with a clamp to test liquid and whatever they want to test to see how it's going to taste. Test liquid is put into the top tube. The clamp is opened, allowing the liquid to coat the tube. Air is then passed up the tube, acting as human breath. The resulting quote-unquote breath is sent to a spectrometer nose, enabling it to quickly be analyzed by a mass spectrometer to determine the nature and level of volatile compounds that lead to flavor release and perception. Again, I say, as I've said so many times in this show, what's wrong with you?
I have a great idea.
Get a human. Sit them down.
Let's use human breath instead of the air being passed through to act as human breath.
And let's use it inside a human.
Let's use a human nose, instead of a mass spectrometer nose.
And finally, if you want to participate in food ideas that aren't so great, the Jelly Belly Jelly Bean Company sells what they call belly flops, things that have been mismatched, and so you can go to big bags of wrong flavor combinations and misshapen jelly beans. Now, Now, at least these things were done by accident, so we're not making fun of the Jelly Belly Corporation. You might get a peanut butter and butter instead of a PB&J. You might get a coconut that tastes a little like kiwi. Kind of gross, but fun. And a five-pound bag is like $5.
Hey, I had so much fun with this show today. I want you guys to email us with more of these stupid food ideas that you've seen over time so we can do this again someday.
I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.